to you. Won't you turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 85. We're looking for the Lord to touch the young people. And young folks, I want you to get in. I really do. I want you to get in and let the Lord help you and let Him touch you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be preaching to the lost some this week. I had a burden for sinners on my heart. And if we're going to get them in, we better get them in now. This is the last youth rally that will be held in this millennium at Flatwoods Tabernacle, unless y'all do a cram course and decide to do another one between now and December 31st. This will be the last one of this millennium. We had our youth camp in June, and it was our last one of this millennium. Well, what does the year 2000 hold? I don't know. I don't know what it holds. Well, what about Y2K? Well, we don't know what that holds. But whether or not the computers fail is of little importance to us. But the condition of our souls is of utmost importance, because God, amen, is going to soon give Jesus the authority to return and get the church. And we better be ready. Can you say amen? And so, young people, I want you to get in this week. I really do. Brother Larry's asking you, get in and get all that God has got for you, and let Him help you and let Him touch you. Don't let pride. I know some of you's a year older than you was since I saw you last year. And I know probably in that year you've learned everything there is to know. Amen. And you know more than your parents. But there's one thing you must know, and that is where you stand with God. Say amen. And it's good to see. I'm going to tell you what. I told Sister Sandra when we left here last year, I said the young people in that area has just got a special place in my heart. And some of you that have tried to stay in touch. And we appreciate that so much. And I'll tell you what. If you've got a computer, and if Sister Andrea sends you anything for it, you better reject it, because you'll be in trouble. I almost drove up here just to choke her. I really did. Amen. I almost drove all the way up here to choke her. And she sent me something that acted like it wiped out my whole computer. And it didn't. Thank God for her. She's still with us tonight that it didn't. But she made us panic. I'll tell you what. But I appreciate all the young people here. And I've got this message. I'm going to preach to you. I'm just doing my preliminaries tonight. And I won't do this all week long. But this message and another message that God really laid on my heart. And I thought maybe that this message might should be saved until the first night of the youth rally when everybody's here. But on the way up here today, we've been over at Richlands for their meeting over there, having a great meeting there at the Tabernacle. But today, as we drove from there over here, and I was praying on the way up, God said, no, I want you to preach this message tonight. And the Lord knows who's here, and He knows who needs this message. And so we want you to help us for just a little while. Amen. Psalms 85 and verse number 6. You have your Bibles. I want you to read along with us. The Bible said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The psalmist is asking God a question here. He said, will you not revive us one more time? One more time will you touch your people and let us rejoice again in the anointing of heaven? One more time will you send down the glory of God and touch your people? Are you listening to that question tonight? If we've ever been in an hour where the church needs revival, it is 1999. Amen. You're going to help me a little while, aren't you, tonight? Now, I can preach if you don't, but it'll sure go better if you do. Help me. And I'll tell you this, I probably won't preach as long if you'll help me. Amen. So help me just a little while. But the church needs revival. You hear me now? The church needs revival. I'm not talking about one of those sway movement revivals where everybody just gets in and sings a pretty song. But I'm talking about a revival where people's heart is troubled. Amen. People's mind is shook. And people come to the altar weeping and crying. Amen. And sinners are troubled and they're convicted of their sins. And people in the church are getting up and going to one another and asking one another to forgive each other of trespasses. Amen. Amen. Come on. Now, and everyone from the minister down to the laity is crying out, "Oh, God, shake me one more time." We need revival right here at Flatwoods. Amen. How do you know that, Brother Larry? Because the Lord told me that. I've been praying, I've been seeking God. I feel like we need to touch heaven this week. Amen. The psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us one more time?" Oh, but we've had revival. I'm going to tell you something. Right, amen, in the Declaration of Independence. Amen. And in the Constitution of our country, there is all the time talking about freedom, freedom. What is America? The land of the brave. Amen. And the home of the free. But do you know that when our founding fathers penned those very words that we are free men, they were unloading slaves off of the ship? Come on now. Quite a contrast to tell everybody that you're free while men were being unloaded in chains. I want to tell you something. We have not had revival when people are still living in bondage and sin is troubling America the way that it is troubling us. Amen. Our nation is in dire need of a revival. And revival will not begin with Bill Clinton. It will not begin with Hillary. But revival must begin in the house of God. Amen. I want to tell you what, we can have revival. Amen. I want to tell all the older folks in here, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. Amen. The elders that are here tonight, I want to tell you something. Amen. I know it's not like it was when you were young. I know the revivals that some of you saw you long for again, but we can still have revival in 1999 because God has not forsaken His people. But we need to be like the psalmist and look to heaven and say, "Oh, heaven, would you render your voice to us one more time? Would you part the clouds and let the fire of heaven fall upon our altars one more time?" I'm going to tell you something, moms and dad. Amen. Our nation is at risk if the church does not realize how much we need a revival. Amen. That word revive in the original language means to live, to have life, to continue in life, to remain alive, to sustain life. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to dial heaven's trauma unit and ask God to sustain the life of the church one more time. Can you say amen? That word means to live, amen, on or upon. It means to be quickened from sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, and from death. I'm going to tell you something. I feel like telling you this here tonight. There are some of you that if you don't get revived this week in this youth rally, you are going to die. Amen. I know you're not shouting tonight, but I feel God running all over my soul. I didn't come up here, amen, with a sermonette out of a booklet, but I've had a burden on my heart. Hey, I thought you was going to tell us some good news. I am. We can still have revival. That's the good news. And you do not have to leave out of here tonight crippled or maimed in a spiritual sense, but you can leave out of here rejoicing and alive forevermore because it is God's desire to revive the church one more time. Amen. Young people, it is God's desire for you to go to heaven, and you can if you want to. Amen. That word also means to preserve alive. I like that. He's not only going to give us life, but He's going to preserve us and sustain us.
Amen. Now, hear me now. We need revival in every pew. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not much, amen. I'm not a doctor, but I could get Brother Randy up here and a few others of you, amen, that work there in the hospitals, and you know good and well yourself, amen, that if someone has been injured in an accident, there are some people that will survive, seem like no matter what. Amen. They can be torn to shreds, and they're just going to pull through. Thank God for old saints that don't give up. Amen. But there are also those that they are wounded. And everything, amen, is determined upon how quickly we respond, how quickly we can stop the blood flow and start the IV, how quickly we can administer, amen, first aid. And I'm going to tell you something here tonight. Do not look at the young people and expect them to bring revival, because it is never written in the book that the young people are to bring revival. But mom and dad, it's up to me and you to get revival in the church, amen, so the young people can feel the anointing of God.
Solomon never asked the young people to fill the temple with fire. Amen. I'm about to feel like preaching now. You're not doing much, but I'm feeling the Lord here tonight. Amen. Solomon never went and said to the young, amen, they were asked to do their part. But I'm going to tell you something. Solomon prayed himself, standing out there with the priest around him, and the power of God filled the Holy of Holies. And the Bible said so that the priest and the ministers could not even minister. Oh, wouldn't it be great here this week if I had to lay down this microphone for the power of God that would fill this building and begin to revive us one more time. Amen. The psalmist said, wilt thou not one more time revive us? Amen. We need revival in the church. We need a lasting revival. I'm not talking about, amen, one of these charismatic things. I'm not talking about where everybody just runs and shouts a little bit. I've seen people shout today and sin tomorrow. But I'm talking about a revival where hearts are changed and the church is made alive and sinners are convicted of their sin. I'm going to tell you what, amen, if we have a move of God this week, it's going to be because everybody decided to do their part. If you look in the Old Testament, when Moses commanded the people in how to build the tabernacle, amen, the Bible says that everyone did according as the Lord had commanded. Amen. Everyone from the young to the old, from the carpenters to the brick masons, from the ladies that, amen, sewed the curtains together, amen, to the goldsmith and the blacksmith. Everybody did as they were commanded of God. I'm going to tell you something. Revival will pass us by when the church sits idle and there is no worship in our service. There is no repentance in our altars. Amen. I've gotten far ahead of myself. But I want to tell you something. We have two options in the Word of God. And this is really the title of my message, Beyond Revival and Into Judgment. Did you know it's always God's desire to revive and to bring His people back to life through revival? Amen. Whether it be a church or a state or a nation, God has always tried to pull His people back to Him through revival. You say, oh, I don't read in the Old Testament where that they gathered around under the brush arbor. Read in your Bible, whether it was the prophet Isaiah saying, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Whether it was Ezekiel laying on his side to show the people their sin. God has always tried to pull the people, amen, back to the temple, back to the tabernacle, back to the place of worship, amen, where they could fall on their face and repent, amen, and begin to worship the Lord their God. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Worship has left our services because repentance has left our altars. And when people repent, then we can worship God. And for those of you that say you have repented and yet you do not worship, I don't understand you. Amen. You're going to help me tonight. You're going to make it a long night if you don't help me here. Amen. Come on now. But you see, God always desired to pull His people into Him
through revival. But if the people refused, there was only one option left, and that is judgment. Amen. You don't think that judgment will not come? I ask you today to call American Airlines or Delta, amen, or any of the others that you want to call, U.S. Air. Call them today and book a flight to Babylon. There is no such city, they'll tell you, only the ruins of where it once stood. Ask them to book you a flight to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir. There's no such place on the map. Ask them to take you to Tyre and Sidon. Amen. They'll tell you, I do not understand where you want to go. Amen. We have only the ruins of where those places used to be. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Amen. Nuclear weapons or not. Amen. Money or not. Amen. Computer technology or not. America will fall to her knees if we do not have revival. Amen. Jeremiah preached to the people, and he said, the Lord told him, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Hear that? Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people starting new churches. They don't have a burden. They're just mad at somebody else. Amen. You know it's so. You know it's so. It's not just in holiness. Down in a little town where we live in, a little town of Chatham, 1,000 people. In our whole town. And you say, well, we don't have that. We're not surrounded by any towns either. Amen. Our whole county where I live has 16,000 people. The city I was born in had almost that much in just the city. But in our whole county, there's 16,000 people. And they start church after church after church after church. And it is not because they're pioneering a work out of a burden. It's because they're mad at the church down the street. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When America has enough money to start churches over arguments, then something tells me that we ought to be sending more money to the mission field and more money to the evangelists to preach the gospel. Amen. But Jeremiah, I said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Notice what he said. He didn't say, go down and start another church. He didn't even say, go to a college prayer meeting. I like college prayer meetings. But he said, go to the Lord's house and stand in the gate and say, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord are these. He's going to tell us, amen, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. What's Jeremiah doing? He's trying to have revival. Amen. Call it what you want to. Think of a theological word. That's all it is. He's trying to have revival. Well, the word revival is not in the Bible. I know it means being revived. And I just read to you that revived is. Amen. That's what the psalmist said. You're not helping me here tonight. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. I feel this message on my heart. Amen. That God is going to try to wake us and shake us one more time. And I don't know about you, but America is in a dark spiritual hour. I know that crime is down. I'm glad. Amen. My wife and I just bought ourselves bicycles. You can't tell it yet because we hadn't hardly rode them. Amen. But we did. And if we ever get to stay home, And really, I'm not looking to stay home. I'm looking to work for God. But one time or another, if we get to stay home, we're going to ride them. And I enjoy being able to ride them, knowing I'm not going to get held up at gunpoint. Amen. And I'm glad that crime is down. But oh, let me tell you something. Amen. When our world, you see, man, the world has tried to tell us that we can have a peaceful society without following God's book. And that's what Clinton, amen, and he's not the only evil person in America. He just is a good representative of them. Amen. But he and all of his cronies are going to try to stand and tell you young people, listen to me. Amen. He's going to tell you, see, we lowered the crime rate. We've got people loving one another, and we did it without the Bible. We did it with our plans and our programs and our money and our funds. But the Bible said that when they say to you, peace, peace, then cometh sudden destruction. You'll never have a peaceful society without the Word of God. Solomon and Gomorrah was having a good time right before the angels got there. Oh, I feel the Lord. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. Hey, man, I prayed in that little evangelist quarters over. I said, oh, God, help them to get it tonight. Amen. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to repeat what I've heard some other preachers say. You say, Brother Larry, I don't like dry preaching. Great. I don't like dry congregations. That's fair, ain't it? Is that fair? I don't like preachers that don't pray. Guess what? Amen. I don't like it when congregations don't pray, because if the preacher's not praying and the people's not praying, there'll be no revival. Amen. And we need it. Oh, we need it. Amen. I know that the crime rate is down, but we're still not having revival in America. My mother gave me a Time magazine just the other week, and it had an article, and this was in response to the Columbine High School shooting down in Colorado, and it said there, our kids are better off than what we think. And they done all, some of you may have seen that article, and it said, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I wished I had it here, but I don't have it with me. I believe it said that in their survey that 95% of all children believe in God. Well, on the surface, that sounds great. But then you must ask those children, define God. Amen. It's not Allah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. It's not Buddha. Amen. It's not Judaism. But it is the God Jehovah of the Bible. We need a revival in America. Our children are in trouble. Amen. And maybe they believe in a divine being, but unless we declare unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll do them no good. Amen. It will do them no good if they don't know who God really is. Amen. Jeremiah tried to call them to revival. God said, go stand in my house. I'm not going to preach to you much longer. You know what I want tonight? You know what I'm asking this church for? When I say this church, I mean visitors and everybody. I'm asking for a good altar prayer tonight. Amen. Is that all right, Pastor? Amen. I want a good altar prayer tonight. Listen to me, young folks. Don't give us a two-minute job and then out. We started our youth camp this year down there downtown. We had a bigger crowd than we've ever had. And I was real excited, but then because of the crowd, we had a lot of problems. And it wasn't just necessarily children, it was just spacing problems and different things. When you got more people, you got more problems. That's just the way it works. Amen. We had things, you know, when you have more people, you have more things that tear up, toilets that back up, toilets that won't flush, showers that won't come on. And so we was working. And one thing I notice on Monday night is that especially our girls always seem to pray better than the boys, but our girls gave it about a 30-second prayer, and then they was talking around the altar. Well, I didn't say anything to them, but I thought, oh, Lord, we got to do something about this. Amen. And then on Tuesday morning, as we had our first morning service, and the preacher preached so good, but they just sat there, boys and girls, not doing nothing. And my spirit began to be troubled. Amen. Tuesday night came around, and our preacher, Brother Tracy Holden, preached so good, but they just sat there on him, and he just pulled a train all night long. And I began to get worried. I said, oh, hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about attendance numbers, and it's not about, hey, I believe in skits, Brother Ron. I love them. We got plenty of them now. But it's not about a good skit. Amen. But it's about altar services, where young people are getting in the altar and getting a hold of God. Amen. And I was getting worried, and I went to my knees. I said, oh, God. Amen. I'm not worried about bragging about how many children we have. I'm not worried about whether the little camp book we put out gets published. But our young people need a move of God. Hey, we went there Wednesday morning, and it was tied again. I said, oh, God. And Wednesday between services, I went down. I stand in Brother Neil's house. Brother Neil Bridges, I went down there, and I got in that room. I laid across the bed, and I said, oh, God. Brother Randy, I began to cry. I said, God, we need a move. Lord, you know my heart. You know the reason I agreed to take this job. It's because I have a burden for young people. It's not a burden, amen, to see them necessarily have fun, and I want them to have fun, but I want them to get a touch of heaven that will last them the rest of their life. Our ninth speaker, he is worried too. I knew he was. He's doing the preaching. Amen. But oh, I want to tell you something. Amen. My assistant, my co-director, he is worried too, Brother Ron. We're all praying. But you know God still answers prayers. If you don't think so, I dare you to try it sometime. It still works. Amen. We got there on Wednesday night. And, amen, the guy that we'd had doing most of the singing had to leave. He'd been leading our song services. And the co-director, I said, man, we need somebody to lead some congregational. And he said, well, there's Brother so-and-so. I said, yeah, go ask him to lead some congregational. And he went back there and got him, and he come back and said, well, he didn't want to do it. He said, this young preacher can do it. And are y'all taping this? All right, I won't say what I was going to say. Amen. But I was worried about some things, you know, things that you don't know unless you're there and you're director and you're worried about them. But he said, I got this young guy up here. I said, all right, you know, tell him, come on. And he got up there, and I thought, oh, God, Lord, we don't need. I've got 1 week for some of these young. We had more, Brother Lord, we had more troubled young people to our camp this year than we've ever had. We had two sisters and a brother that were all three wards of the state, and none of them lived in the same home. Amen. We had children on Ritalin that come this year, and I thought, oh, God, we've got 1 week to try to get as much gospel in them as possible. Amen. That young man stood up to the mic and said, let's sing page number 130. I never shall forget the day. Amen. He hit the first song. A little old boy on the front pew. A little old boy that has mental problems. And I'm telling you, most of our young people try to pick on him. Amen. He's one of these. He doesn't know how to dress himself good. He doesn't hardly ever even talk because he stutters so bad. But he is sitting over here. His name's John. I looked over at Johnny, come out from the pew. He was a shouting, amen. Had his hands raised to heaven. And when he did, that place went wild, amen. And we never, Brother Tracy never climbed in the pulpit again the rest of that week. We had, I believe, about 9 saved and 7 filled with the Holy Ghost. Can we have revival? Yes! But there must be a prayer. There must be a cry in somebody's heart. God will not revive us again. Won't you raise your hands and praise the Lord? Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. Leviticus said, amen, in 26 and 40, if they shall confess their iniquity. I'm going to tell you one thing. Vance Havner said that we're trying to get our young people to say, here am I, before they ever say, woe is me. And I'm going to tell you, young people and elders alike, Mom and Dad, I'm going to tell you something. I've had seem like more trouble out of Mom and Dad in the last couple of years than I have Johnny and Susie. Amen. Come on now. And if you got, is there any young people here named Johnny and Susie? I wasn't talking about you. Amen. I'm just using his example. But I've had more. Hey, it's hard for our young people to stay away from the world and learn to have a prayer life when mom and dad don't have a prayer life. And they're encouraging them to go to the places of the world. Say amen. You know it's the truth. Mom, it's hard for your girl to dress decent when you're going out buying her the tight skirts. Hey, come on now. Amen. And the tight blouses. Amen. Dad, it's hard for your boy to stay out of the world. Amen. When you're the one keeping up with the major league and the minor league. Come on now. And then you want to get up in church when the preacher preaches on the young people and act like you're all sanctified and tell them how to live. Hey, you need to get in the mirror and say, God, revive Daddy one more time. Revive Mama one more time. God, revive the family one more time. A true revival is marked by repentance. First, even among God's people. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that they and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled. You know what that word humble means in the original translation? Amen. In the original word, the word humble literally means to bend your knees. Come on now. Amen. Then if the uncircumcised heart will humble, if they'll bend their knees. Oh, God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Mom and Dad, we've got to learn to repent. Oh, Brother Larry, the sinners need to repent. Hey, 2 Chronicles 7:14 did not say for if the world, but he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble. There's that word again. If they'll bend their knees one more time. If they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Going back to Leviticus, it said, if they be humbled and then they accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. Amen. Oh, but listen, if we don't have revival, listen at what he also told them in Leviticus. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemies' land. Come on now. Amen. How many backslidden Christians do we know today? How many come right out of here at Flatwoods Tabernacle? How many come out of 24th Street that they're backslid today and they're in the enemy's land and they're in bondage? I tell you what we need, church. We need a revival one more time. Oh. Amen. Then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. When you're in your enemy's land. Amen. Jeremiah, after the 7th chapter, after he stood in the Lord's house and said, hear the word of the Lord and come to this house to worship Him. He went on in the 8th chapter and said, and at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes and the bones of his priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven whom they have loved. Amen. He's talking to people that once had a relationship with Him, Brother Lloyd. He said, bring out the bones of all these great, the leaders, the elders, the prophets. Amen. And put them out before the sun and the moon. Lay them out where everybody can see them. And lay them out before the one that they loved. Amen. Whom they have served and after whom they have walked and after whom they have worshipped. But listen, they shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. word. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. Amen. Oh, God, help us that we tread upon the memories of those that once had revival right here, that we bring their memories out and treat them as dung on the earth, because we as a church now in 1999 refuse to have revival. You mean we're dishonoring the elders? We're dishonoring those that went on before? Yes, we are, when we don't have revival anymore. I'm trying to close, but I'm trying to shake you too one more time. Amen. Signs of revival are conviction, repentance, restitution. You know what that word means? Amen. You know, we used to preach restitution. All the old timers said that when they got saved, they went back and tried to make things right, things that they'd done. Even little things, my old pastor, Brother G.C. Roper, he used to steal watermelons as a boy. And when he got saved, he went back to the man who stole his watermelons and said, "Hey, I'll work, I'll pay for every one of them." He met a sinner man. That this guy, and Brother Roper, and I know that seems small compared to the things that people do today. But after he got saved, he used to sneak in there at night and steal his melons. After he got saved, he went back to him and said, "Sir, hey man, I got saved. I'm a Christian now. I've been sneaking in your field, stealing your watermelons, and I'm sorry. And I'll work. And I'll either work in your field and help you grow new ones, or I'll work, make the money, and pay you for every one of them." That man said, "Son, if you got saved, that's enough payment for me." Amen. Oh, see, that's what restitution does. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You can tell those sinners on your job you got saved, but if you're too big to say, "I'm sorry," it does not mean much to them. Signs of revival or repentance, restitution, faith. You know, there's one time when we live by faith and not by what we see. God, help us to get back to faith. Charles Finney said this, and I'm coming to a close. I don't even know what time it is. Amen. He said, "There is so little principle in the church, so little firmness and stability of purpose, that unless it is greatly excited, it will go back from the path of duty and do nothing to promote the glory of God. The state of the world is still such, and probably will be till the millennium is fully come, that religion must mainly be promoted by means of revival. How long and how often has the experiment been tried?" He's talking about trying to have revival. "To bring the church to act steadily for God without these periodical excitements." I know Finney can be a little wordy sometimes, but you know what he's saying? Sometimes the church needs to be excited about what we're doing. If we don't get a little excited every once in a while, we fall back. Amen. And we fail to promote the Word of God. And Finney said, "Sometimes we've tried to get people to do what they need to do without real revival, but it will not work." Amen. As they come to get us a song on the piano, Ravenhill said this. He said, "The tragedy of this late hour is that we have too many dead men in the pulpits, giving out too many dead sermons to too many dead people." Amen. Oh, God. I don't know if you got this, but listen, I'm going to tell you something, Sunday school teacher. If you don't get revival, you're going to bore your students to death and lose every one of them. Amen. Let me tell you something, song leader. If you don't get revival, you're going to sing songs that nobody cares to hear, and you're going to close your book and sit down and wonder what's wrong with everybody else. Amen. I hate to pick on the two, because they're the only one we got. And I'm not trying to pick y'all out, Brother Lloyd. You know that. But if we in the ministry don't get stirred, oh, God, if we don't preach with a burden in the pulpit, amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Our laity is going to become wanderers in the wilderness. And you and I are going to be like Moses, laying somewhere on a hillside in a grave unknown to the world. Wilt thou not revive us again? I believe if we could hear from heaven after the psalmist's question, God would say, "If you want it, I will. But I'll not do it to a people that does not want revival." Amen. I'm going to call us into these altars, but before you come, Amen. A revival cannot be based on emotion. We can't just come up here and think happy thoughts and go back to our pew. But we need to touch heaven tonight. We've got all kind of people coming in here tomorrow. And your souls and their souls are of the utmost importance to this preacher and all these men and these churches that are putting this thing on. And your souls. I don't know how I preached to you tonight. Maybe it wasn't very good. But I've had a burden on my heart. Amen. I love you people. I've told everybody at Richlands. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Flatwoods. Most of them knew all about the area. And some of them even told me, tell you. Sister Doris Horton them said, tell you, hey. Tell you, hello, Brother Lloyd. Amen. They said, oh yeah, we know some of them folks up there. Amen. And I've been excited about coming, but I've had a burden on my heart. And we need to have revival one more time. Would you come to the altars? Could we have a good season of prayer tonight? I want the whole church to come in, if we will. Let's not have a 30-second or a minute and a half, but let's try to touch God tonight. Come on. Come on up here. If you're physically able, I want you to come up here. Come around the front. If you're not able, I understand. But if you're physically able, I want you to come forward and find your place. And let's pray.